Well, I think we've all heard of the Redwood Region Audubon Society, and they're a group of volunteers here locally. One of them is right here in the studio, Harriet Hill. She is the publicity chair, and you're invited to the annual banquet and auction coming up. That is on February 17th. And that's going to be held at the D Street Neighborhood Center. And then on the phone, we're joined by Doug Forsell. He's a retired U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist. He's going to be giving a presentation. And Doug has studied water birds for over 43 years. He received his bachelor's and master's degrees from Humboldt State University. So it's going to be great to have him back in town. He studied predatory efficiency and energetics of wintering belted kingfishers along the Mad River. How very interesting. We'll hear from Doug in just a minute. We're going to speak with Harriet Hill first and welcome Harriet to the magazine. Hi, Harriet.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks so much for having me here today.
It's my pleasure. Tell us more about the Redwood Region Audubon Society.
Okay, well, Redwood Region Audubon Society is our local chapter of the National Audubon Society. And the National Audubon Society, which is named after the famous artist John James Audubon, got started around 1896. And back then, millions of birds each year were being slaughtered by the fashion industry to decorate clothing and hats. So Audubon got organized women to boycott the hats and clothing with those wild bird feathers and also stopping wild bird marketing in the United States. So since that time, the National Audubon Society has worked to pass many important conservation acts, including the establishment of our National Wildlife Refuge System, which our banquet speaker was part of worked for managing the most remote refuges in that entire system.
Wow.
So,
fascinating.
It's really cool.
I remember reading about like the egrets locally here, all those feathers. I mean, just.
Yeah, they really, really were endangering herons and egrets. Mm-hmm. And related to that very topic, Danielle, the Redwood Region Audubon Society was founded in 1969 by some local conservationists who were really concerned about the proposed Samoa Bridge alignment. So the original highway was to pass directly through the Heron Rookery on Indian Island.
Mm.
But because of Audubon's local efforts, mm-hmm. when you drive over the bridge, you can now watch this very active colony and herons and egrets from your car.
Right, and that's so exciting to do.
Yes, it is.
And
it
all
is.
The night herons around Arcata. I know there's a few trees that have gone now, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see lots and lots of night herons, especially in the Arcata Marsh.
Right.
So, yeah, and that's exactly what we do is, you know, other than, in addition to all the conservation work, we have mm-hmm. many, many field trips a year, a weekly one to Arcata Marsh, and then there's numerous other field trips around the county, and sometimes out of the county, too.
Yeah, so, and you're having your annual banquet?
We are indeed.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Well, let's bring Doug on the phone to say hello. Doug, are you with us?
Yes, nice to be with you.
How are you today?
Just fine.
And so you're going to be coming back to your alma mater. That's exciting.
Yeah, I've been by a few times, but haven't been up there for a couple of years.
So would you like to tell us something about the presentation or about what you're interested in and up to these days, either one?
Well, essentially, the talk I'm going to give is about Howland Baker and Jarvis Islands. They're three very remote islands on the right along the equator. All three of them are within 50 miles of the equator, and the only islands in that area along the equator until you get to the Galapagos Islands.
Oh.
And they are remote wildlife refuges that have been possessions of the United States since the mid-1800s and have suffered a lot of perturbation by including introduction of rats and cats and guano mining and chemical biological warfare testing and a whole lot of things that have military bases that have impacted the birds over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past 40 years, there's been a lot of cleanups of the things, and the birds are have managed to come back quite well.
Can you speak for a minute about the importance of preservation of these birds?
Well, there aren't very many nesting islands in the Pacific. They're so For example, between Howland and Baker Islands are close to each other, and then it's 1,100 miles till you get to Jarvis Island. And so these are the only three nesting islands within about 1,500 miles along the Central Pacific, along the equator, and then to the north and south of some of the islands are some other islands, but they're a bit different and have other problems with them, such as cats and rats and other things that prevent their nesting.
Right. And what kind of birds are there, if you would name a few?
Well, there's three species of boobies. They're the most sort of conspicuous and noisiest. Masked booby, brown booby, and a red-footed booby.
Red-footed.
Those are...
I was going to say blue-footed.
Yeah, the blue-footed's in Mexico.
Okay, thank you.
Quite similar to that. The masked booby is similar to that. And then there's two species of frigate birds.
Oh, those are, frigate birds. Amazing creatures.
Kleptoparasites of the bird world who chase the boobies and take their food away from them.
Like a seagull.
Yeah, exactly. And they're except they're about twice as maneuverable as a gull.
Mm.
And they're some of the best flyers in the bird world.
Oh, interesting.
Then there's a number of species of terns, the sooty tern, grayback tern, which are small birds, quite numerous, and some of them can be up to a million of them on the islands nesting at a time.
One good tern deserves another.
Yeah, exactly.
We used to have quite a few of them here. I actually feel like I haven't seen as many in the last year than I used to see, and I'm just thinking about that as you're speaking. You also spent time in Alaska. Would you tell us about that a tiny bit?
I went up there in the 1976. It was my first year up there and spent 10 years living up there. Worked on at-sea distribution of birds, where we go out on ships and count birds out of the ocean, and published an atlas on the birds of the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska, and spent a few years in the Aleutian Islands doing colony surveys, working on high-sea Japanese gillnet fisheries. Gillnets kill large numbers of birds because the birds dive under the water, and just like fish, they go into the net and can't get back out and drown.
Wow.
And working on the reintroduction of Aleutian Canada geese and a number of other small projects.
Wow, so exciting. Well, it's going to be great to hear you on the 17th, and the presentation will be probably after the dinner. I'm going to say thank you and goodbye to you on the phone, and we'll close out with Harriet. So I appreciate your time today, retired U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist Doug Forsell. We'll see you on the 17th, Doug.
Thank you. Enjoy talking with you.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, Harriet, tell us a little bit more about your weekly walks, maybe. Where do you meet, or how do you find out about those?
Well, there's a lot of ways that we publicize them. They're always in the North Coast Journal. There are also on our website, rras.org, on our calendar. And, you know, you'll see them in other publications as well. As I said, we go to the marsh every single week. There's a bird walk at the marsh at 8:30 on Saturdays. We have regular field trips to the Eureka waterfront, to Willow Creek, the National Wildlife Refuge right in Lolita area.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, and then there's always special trips every month. There's people might take folks up to Horse Mountain, sometimes in Del Norte County.
Okay.
We have trips being led there. So,
and these are for all ages.
Yes.
And they're moderately paced. So,
well,
you can,
some are a little more,
rigorous.
Take a little more energy than
okay.
others, but most of them are very, easy walks where you stop a lot, look at the birds. Your leader will identify them, tell you all kinds of interesting facts about them, and it's a really fun thing to do for kids and adults.
Well, let's talk about how you get a reservation. Reservations are strongly suggested. They might have a few tickets at the door, but Brett needs to know how much food to cook for everyone, and so you can send a check to RRAS at P.O. Box 1054 in Eureka, 95502, or you can email Gary at jacobycreek.net and enter banquet line in the subject line, or you can call 496-6581. Anything else that you'd like to close out with, Harriet?
Well, I would just encourage people, even if you don't know anything about birds, this is the time to learn. It's a really, really fun event. We have some great buys at our silent auction, including art, jewelry, hand-woven stuff, clothing, locally canned goods, and many, you know, local services, little gift cards for local services. There will be a fabulous dinner, as you say, catered by Brett, and both meat and vegetarian options. And, of course, the fabulous and interesting presentation about these very remote Pacific islands by Doug Forsell.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Well, thank you for joining us, Harriet Hill. She is the publicity chair for the Redwood Region Audubon Society. And thank you for joining us. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Thank you very much, Danielle. I enjoyed it.